Good morning. Good morning. Can everyone hear me? For you all that don't know me, my name is John Bell, and I can't tell you how blessed and humbled I am to be here. But before I get started, I think it's only fair that I share something with you. Not unlike many products that we buy that come with a warning label, such as this product may cause drowsiness or sleepiness, I too come to you this morning with a label. My label reads, "This man has a tendency to get emotional, but it's okay. He will not be operating heavy equipment." In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. As Bob mentioned this morning, this prayer breakfast is put on in Mark Christopher's honor. Mark Christopher was someone that I admired and I looked up to. As Bob mentioned, when Mark got cancer and before Caring Bridge, he created an answering service. In this answering service, he provided updates on his cancer treatments. He also provided relevant Bible scriptures as well. I'll never forget the last time I heard Mark Christopher's words. It was not unlike any other day, and like many of you, I called his answering service weekly. I dialed the number. I heard Mark's voice answer. He said, "I'm ready. I'm prepared. I'm ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven." That was incredibly powerful to me. Just over a year ago, on January 21st, I went into cardiac arrest. I had a heart attack that nearly took my life. While recuperating in intensive care, I had several nurses and doctors who assisted in saving my life while I was in the ER visit me. I asked one who said she had never visited a patient in the hospital that she worked on. I said, "Well, why are you visiting me?" And she said, "Mr. Bell, we heard that you were doing so well, we couldn't believe it. We had to see it for our own eyes." Another nurse the same day visited me. While crying and hugging me, she said, "Mr. Bell, God's got something very special planned for your life." Truth be told, that made me a little bit nervous. Ironically enough, my cardiologist visited me that next morning. He's not the one that operated on me, but he was with my family during my surgery. He walked in, and after exchanging small pleasantries, he sat in the corner of the room. He said, "John, we went to high school together, so we were on a first-name basis." He said, "John," he said, "you know the old saying, better lucky than good." He said, "You were lucky." Another dear friend who was with my family while I was being operated on, also a doctor at St. Joseph's, he visited me as well while in intensive care. He said, "John," he said, "you were lucky." He said, "The hospital did everything right. The medical staff here, they were perfect that day." But he said, "At the end of the day," he said, "I think your father had more to do with saving your life than the hospital. What he knew, but most of you don't, is that I lost my father 10 years ago to a heart attack." Unlike Mark, I was not ready. I was not prepared. You see, I was living the American dream. I have a beautiful wife, 4 healthy children. I have a nice home. I attend church most Sundays. Heck, I even have a golden retriever named Champ. I'll leave it to Beaver's that. It was 4 o'clock or so, and I was in my office in Buckhead. I hung up the phone. I noticed I was short of breath. Something alarming was happening to me. That is when 2 voices appeared in my head. I know it sounds crazy, but the first voice said, "Dumbo, wake up. You're having a heart attack." The other voice immediately responded, "No way. Acid reflux, indigestion, maybe, not a heart attack." After about 15 minutes of debate between these 2 voices, an entire pack of Rolaids, I decided to head home or to the hospital. Stepping out of the elevator in my building, I became dizzy again. It was then that I noticed the pain in my chest. It was as if somebody had placed a clamp inside my body, and it was suffocating my heart. I nearly told the security guard at the desk to call 911, but the dizziness subsided, so I went to get in my car. Fortunately for me, St. Joseph's Hospital and my home are only minutes apart. I turned onto Peachtree Street, then onto Peachtree Dunwoody, heading north towards the hospital or home, and the two voices kept saying, "Home, hospital, home, hospital." I broke out into a condition that I now know is called a diaphoretic freeze. That's when your body's shutting down, your pores open up. Water just started pouring out. It was as if I had just gotten out of a shower. It was only then that I recognized that I was truly having a heart attack and accepted the fact that I was having a heart attack. I immediately called my wife. I needed someone to call 911 if I didn't make it. I did my best to assure that I was okay. I told her, I said, "Honey, it's acid reflux, indigestion, I'm going to be fine." She begged me to stop the car in order that she could come pick me up. I said, "No, I need to get to the hospital. I need to get there now." I said, "Please stay on the phone with me to make sure I get there." She later explained to me that she could barely understand a word I said. She said I was talking to her as if I were running a marathon. Upon arriving at St. Joe's, I pulled directly in front of the emergency room, leaving the car door open, the car running. I told my wife that I loved her and that I'd made it. I stumbled into the emergency room and collapsed. They put me on a gurney and rushed me back into the ER. I remember the young nurse that had visited me later asking me three questions. She said, "Are you married? Do you have children? Where do they go to school?" You see, she was trying to keep me conscious. Prior to my heart stopping, I had one nurse and one doctor tending to my care. When I came to, I had an army of doctors taking care of me. What I did not realize until much later was that my heart had stopped for nearly 5 minutes. I had been defibrillated 5 times. Glad I got that word out. I was worried about that. 5 times in order to resuscitate me. As soon as I came to, the doctor said to me, "Sir, you've been in cardiac arrest." I responded, "No way, not me. I have 4 kids. At that time, that immediate second after I said that, I looked up and noticed my wife in the doorway of the hospital room. The doctor, afraid of what she had seen or how long she'd been standing there, afraid of what she had seen, asked her, how long have you been standing there? He immediately ushered her to my bedside. He said to her, "Whatever you want to say, whatever you have to say, you better say it now." She knelt down beside me. She removed my oxygen mask, and we kissed, and we exchanged "I love yous." Seconds later, I was mobile. All I could see were ceiling tiles flying by. They were rushing me to the cath lab. Every breath was a chore. Every breath was as if I had just had the breath knocked out of me. I wasn't in the cath lab very long when the doctor said it would take about 20 minutes to get you set up. He explained, "I'm going to shoot this dye up into your arteries, find the blockage." He said, "Then we're going to fix it." As soon as he said we're ready, I was laying on a table. I looked up to my left. There were 3 big screen TVs. My heart was on all 3 of them, and it was about this big. I watched the dye as it flowed through my arteries. It was the LAD, the left anterior descending artery, also nicknamed the Widowmaker. It was 100% blocked. The doctor was using what looked like a pipe cleaner to go up into the artery to clear the artery. As soon as he hit the blockage, the medical team was prepared for this. I wasn't. As soon as he hit the blockage, there was a man standing in my head. He had his hands above his head, clasped like this. He pounded me in the chest 2. Everybody cleared away from me. I noticed something coming at me from the left. It was the paddles. Bam, they hit me with the paddles. It was like a miracle. In the time that it takes to flip a light switch, I couldn't breathe. Flip that light switch, hit me with that defibrillator, I could breathe. It was a miracle to me. What seemed like only minutes later, someone put a sheet over me. I was talking with my wife and my kids in the cath lab. I saw both fear and relief in their faces. No tears, just watery eyes. Later, as I reflected on that moment, the blessing that God bestowed upon me, unconditional love, for that moment, through the eyes of my children. Before I share with you my reflection on this whole event, I'd like to share a funny story that happened to me shortly after my heart attack. I was attending one of my son's baseball scrimmages. He plays baseball at Marist. My wife and several other mothers were working in the concession stand. And I walked up to get a bottle of water. This young lady, a mom, a Marist mom, another parent mom, said, "Can I help you?" I said, I'd like to have a bottle of water. She looked at me in disgust, looked at my wife, then pointed at me, looked at my wife, and said, "Pat, how in the world do you put up with this guy? God didn't even want his smart ass." Also, shortly after my heart attack, I thought it was time to pull the family together and have a family dinner. And we did that. And I was trying to soften the blow to my kids. And I said, "Kids," I started off talking about it. I said, "Kids, you know I had a heart attack, but you knew I was going to be okay, right?" My youngest, my 15-year-old, said, "Dad, you had a heart attack. You could have died." Boy, that got to me. As you can imagine, after having this kind of experience, I did a lot of soul searching. It caused me to reflect a great deal about friends, family, and more importantly, about my relationship with God. I'd like to read something to you quickly. It's an email, or the beginning of an email that I sent to a very dear friend and religious mentor of mine, Monsignor Richard Lopez. I started out, "I had all my checkups last week, and according to Gordon, I'm recovering quite well. I am so blessed. Pat, my kids, my friends, the prayers that I have received. Wow. I am embarrassed to tell you that my heart attack is the best thing that ever happened to me. I have never been so humbled in so many ways, and I now know and understand that God wants us to be humbled." Mark Christopher was humble. He was ready. He was prepared to die. Mark had the inner peace that one can only feel when being one with God. Mark got it. He got what I had been taught my entire life. Yet, for me, it took a heart attack. To cause me to self-reflect and understand that I was not living 24/7 according to my answer. God is not a Sunday-only option. God is not part-time. God's kingdom is a gift, the gift of salvation. We are invited to use this gift, but not to control it. The only thing we have control over is simple. We either say yes or no to God's gift, and then most importantly, we live according to that answer. In closing, I'd like to share something that's very dear to me. I had the opportunity to write something to two of my children. They're twins. They're seniors at Marist, and they went on an Emmaus retreat. And we were asked to write something to our children to share with them how lucky, how blessed, and how much we love them. I wrote something that I'm not sure I would have written to my son absent my heart attack. It goes like this. "Son, I want to take this opportunity to share with you the most important decision that you will make in your life is the one to let God into your life. As we discussed before your confirmation, Only you can make that decision. I pray every day that you find comfort in God. My heart attack jolted me into a great deal of reflection about what is truly meaningful in this short life on earth. God, family, friends, and those intertwined relationships. That is all that is important. God bless, and thank you very much.